This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hi.
What's up? You know, good Thursday.
Is it?
How's everybody doing?
What happened? I thought we were getting like 80 degrees.
Tomorrow.
I woke up and just raining on me.
Tomorrow. Now, you can't bitch about this, can you?
No, I can't.
It's one day.
I'm just saying.
Come on, man.
You know I don't read the weather forecast.
I know.
So I just assumed that it was sunny. So when I woke up today.
Look at you assuming.
And I looked outside. I was like, it threw me for a loop.
A little rain today.
I didn't know what to make of it.
A little rain is good.
A little rain.
As you like to say, keeps Oregon green.
Keeps Oregon rain. Green. Comes down from heaven.
Yeah.
It goes drip.
Yeah. It goes drip. Drip, drip.
Yeah, I'm not a weather complainer. It just it caught me off guard. I was not. I thought I had heard that we were like sunny and 80
tomorrow,
and it had been so nice the day previous. I just assumed that we were continuing.
Well, you know what you get when you assume?
Make an ass,
right?
Yeah.
You make an ass. Apparently.
Mm-hmm. Well, you make an ass out of you and me.
Well, I mean, I didn't assume anything. I get a weather alert on my phone.
You can only really serve one ass.
I'm not every
sure
morning.
If you're familiar with, you said me. No, I do make an ass out of me. It just wouldn't be you.
Right, that's what I just said.
No, you said me.
Oh, well, not me. You, me.
You.
You're the me, I'm the you.
You mean you and you and me. Either way, apparently I made an ass by not checking the weather.
You sure did.
I can't handle, and I know you're big into the weather.
Big weather guy.
I just, whatever.
You will as you get older.
No, we're roughly the same age.
No, we're not.
At what age?
You will as you get older.
At what age do I crest and all of a sudden start caring about the weather?
I mean, I think when you're in your 60s, it's like the only thing you talk about.
I just don't
get
it.
Am I wrong?
Well, I mean.
It's a huge topic.
I don't know why.
Well, it's probably just because it's like the only thing.
Lowest hanging fruit of small talk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we did.
Something we can all relate.
I did open the show today.
It applies to literally everyone always.
So you do it before, you don't even know
you're
doing
it. It's like subconscious.
Yeah. Hot weather talk.
It's just the idea. Like we went to the soccer game yesterday and we were getting out of the car and it was, you know, it's like 7:15 when we're getting out. And one of the guys I was with looked at me and dead seriously without, and he's older than I am, and dead serious looked at me and went, "What, you're not bringing a layer?" I was like, "What the heck?
The layer
like,
up?
It's like 74 degrees outside.
The layer up?"
And then we were walking there and he's like, "Hey, don't talk to me when the cold comes in." I was like, "Oh my God, are you 1,000 years old? Make sure you bring a layer." I'm like, "Oh my," it was.
He was dadding you.
It was kind of shocking to me, and
it's
I was like,
"Okay, Dad,
is that my future?" And then someone else there was four of us, and someone else too was like, "Yeah, I brought a layer." I'm like, "I don't want to deal with that cold." So it was
I'm hurt.
Fascinated by that people. I mean. Unless you're getting extreme weather one way or another, does it really matter? Like sleeves, no sleeves, shorts, pants, it's all relative, unless it's like an extreme weather. And then, 9,000 people will tell you if there's going to be extreme weather. But for the most part here in the Northwest, it's all fine. It's not quite San Diego fine, but for the most part, it's fine.
So you do admit San Diego weather better than that of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, just not during the summer.
Hmm.
That's all. But during, I mean, come on, year round. That's foolishness.
Here's what AI says. People often talk about the weather because it's a safe, uncontroversial topic that everyone can relate to. It's a way to initiate conversation without delving into potentially sensitive or divisive subjects.
That is true. Like when someone says, "Hey, how about the weather?" That's better than being like, "Hey, how about that Jesus?" Or,
Or how about that president?
How about that president? And by the way, that can go two very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how that's going to go. You know, it's, so yeah, I guess you're not running for president of Asia.
Yeah.
Maybe you are.
All right, I love Tesla.
Go weather. By the way, the gnats. Have you been, this isn't weather related, but like.
Boy, that's a squirrel.
Well, I was thinking about, because we were at the game last night. And
what game?
The soccer game. We were at the Timbers game.
Oh, the Timbers.
The Timbers. Ah!
My Timbers.
Your Timbers.
How'd we do?
2-1.
Lost?
No. I wouldn't say 2-1 lost. It'd be we won. 2-1. Light the fires. But we were.
What fires?
Dude, there was like a. Well, they light the.
Is that a thing now?
Own fire.
They have the road flares in the Timbers, the green smoke. Light the fires.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, you're on the soccer rop over there. No, we got swarmed by freaking gnats.
Oh, no.
Dude, they were. It was like a plague. Speaking of Jesus.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. I mean, it was really hard to, you're trying to drink. It's a soccer game, for God's sakes. And they're all up in your beverages. Like, it was gross.
What do you do about that?
Well, now you're trying to cover it with your hand.
Did you have to call over the concierge or something?
It was ridiculous.
Can't they get you an umbrella or like a bug net?
Well, yeah, they normally, like,
what
during,
is this?
During the rainy games, they have ponchos. And I was like, can we get a gnat poncho? It was gross. So I went to the, I went in the bathroom. You know, when you get a little bit of the runny nose, do you ever do like you kind of gather everything, you know, to spit it out?
Sure, like yeah. The hawk.
Oh, yeah.
The hawk, hawk,
yeah, the hawk of the hawk Tua.
The hawk of the hawk Tua. Yeah, you do a little bit of that? So I went in the bathroom, and you want to talk about a topic that was dominating the bathroom conversation. So I'm in the bathroom there, and I gave it a little, one of those, and all of a sudden I could feel all the gnats that were in my nose were now in my throat.
How many gnats are we talking about?
So when I spit it out, I'm going to say that there was like 8 to 10 that were in the, I don't know, just the loogie that came out. And I was like, my God. I was like, that is so gross. And then I realized that was what everyone was talking about in the back. It dominated the urinal conversation.
Yeah, as it should. That's a pretty heavy
because
topic.
It united all of you, yeah. Or it applied it to all of you.
It's a shared experience.
Yes.
And that's what the weather is.
Yeah. Well, that's what made me think about that.
Seriously.
Shared experience was the gnats. And then no one could figure out why. Like, where did the gnats come from? And then people were having wild theories. Like, people were literally just throwing out, like, random Facebook. Someone said because of the, they watered the rubber field. Like, what? And then I asked, why would that bring gnats? And they didn't have a response to
Is
that.
Is it humidity?
I don't know.
If I were to throw something totally random at the wall, I would say the spike in warm weather maybe caused some dormant gnats to lay eggs that hatched on the river, maybe?
I love that.
Yeah.
Science buck.
And by the way, that is better than any theory I heard at the urinal.
Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
Well, but isn't that rubber, the rubber gets warm, right? And if they water it.
I don't know.
It gets humid. And then the gnats show up, and then all hell breaks loose. And then Big Sook's writing nasty emails to the Timbers.
I love that you went down. You have no idea if anything you just said had any bearing whatsoever, but you've got conviction behind it.
Well, I'm thinking through it. It's like you every day. But it's me thinking through it a little bit, yeah. And I just feel like that could be an explanation.
Oh.
I'm trying to help you out.
I just enjoyed when the one guy at the pier, he came up with the watering the rubber field theory, and when we was pushed back, he had no... Nothing. He just was like, like you could tell he was not prepared for anyone to push back on his theory, and he brought nothing. At least you came with a working theory on that. He had nothing. But I'll tell you, the Nats, it was a lot. That was the dominating story of the night. I mean, the 2-1 win was nice, but the Nats.
Now, do you think the players know that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because where we sit, it's over by like the visiting section. So the visiting players always come over because they've got their fans and sometimes family. So they always come over by us. And I will tell you, you know what the Colorado players were talking about that night? The Nats. They just lost 2-1 in heartbreaking fashion.
Well, they can't play in those conditions.
And they're talking about the Nats. One dude was like, I can't tell you how many of those I swallowed. They didn't know what to make of it either.
I have... AI again for you today?
Yeah.
Second thing you've griped about that I'll go ahead and see what AI says.
Thank you.
High humidity and moisture will attract gnats, especially fungus gnats.
Mm.
They're often found in damp environments, and their larvae feed on decaying organic matter and fungi, which can thrive in moist soil. Therefore, areas with high humidity, like bathrooms or areas with overwatered plants, can be ideal breeding ground for gnats.
But the field is fake. So there's no, no organic, I know, but, matter.
But if it's humid, but there, but I'm, you're, like you said, I have conviction about this.
I like it.
It's going to be humid,
mm-hmm,
because they watered the tarry.
The rubber. It's, yeah, like ground up tires.
Yeah. Yeah, and if an acid from fungus, the fungus doesn't need like real plant life to, exactly, grow on. It can still grow on that.
And then like you look at bathroom areas or enclosed areas, mm-hmm, that maybe that seeped into, and, yeah, boom, gnats.
Yeah. You know what, Timbers?
Listen, I'm writing them a letter.
Do better.
On your behalf.
Do better.
Maybe a dome.
Ooh, I like that. How about just like a gnat cover? Like in Florida, they've got screened in porches. Can we...
What if they handed out Raid as you walked in? And everybody's just spraying each other with Raid.
That could be problematic. Although it's, you know, be interesting.
I love Raid.
Do you?
Yeah, we have cans of Raid strewn about, and I used it today.
You take delight in that?
Yeah. It's great. It kills them instantly. Like, huh, for me, it was ants, yeah, you know, those little...
Yeah.
But I just spray them all and...
Hot liquid death, huh?
And they're just like, ah! Mm.
It's great. I'm a bug crusher. The only time I go with liquid death is when I battle the... every summer, I battle the murder shed wasps. And you don't mess with the wasps. Though that gets the... And though that's not really... I don't know if that's Raid, but it's like, it's a foam.
They have their own spray, don't,
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they got their own spray because it's... You can spray it from like 20 feet away. Yeah. It's like a jet stream.
Yeah.
And it's more like a fire extinguisher. It's a thick white foam. And that way you can battle the wasps from a distance.
Do you ever wonder why there are so many different sprays or chemicals for different...
shouldn't one of them, yeah, just be a catch-all?
Right. Like, why wouldn't one of them just, yeah, kill all these stupid pests?
That way they can sell us more and probably poison us. Look... There's a reason why, exactly, we're all getting cancer.
That's right.
Everything you spray, everything you touch, I'm sure it's causing cancer.
Well, but if they can yeah, slap a label on for ants, another one on for wasps or, yeah, bees, and another one, yep, on for spiders,
now they've
then
sold
that,
you,
then you
three
get three
times
cans
as, yep, much.
There you go.
That's right.
Big insect repellent. You know, is
big insect.
Yeah, big insect is there. You know,
they're taking repellent our money.
Get into your wallet. Well, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
You know. You're just gonna let the insects and the wasps run rampant? No, no, no.
What are you gonna do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know.
And then you always hear those natural like remedies, and those never work.
Someone's like, sometimes.
Oh, someone's like spread lemon. And you're like, whatever. That, yeah, doesn't work.
We did one once outside because we had snails and slugs, mm-hmm, eating some plants. You know, because, yeah, they're too moist. So, yeah, here we go again with the moist.
Yeah. You know,
how many times can I say moist in a show?
Well, we've talked about moist is bad. Moist conditions are not good, and here we go again. It's insane.
So if you put like little canisters of beer out there,
yeah,
this worked.
Really?
They'll show up in there and they'll die in there. Yeah, they like beer. They're a bunch of drunks.
Really?
Yeah, but the problem with it is like you never get them all.
No.
Like it's just, no, there's always more.
They're too slow. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Slugs, snails.
Ah!
I saw what you're doing. I enjoyed it.
Well, guys.
Who had that? Who had that on the bingo card?
Insect Talk, your opening seggy today. Yeah.
Insects in the nose is no good, though, man. It's just, yeah. I mean, honestly, for the rest of the night, you don't really feel, you feel like.
Imagine being in India.
Yeah, it's no good.
You know?
The BTJ's brother lives in India.
Or like the Amazon.
And I'm just like, what are you doing over there, man?
The jungle?
Yeah. Because we went to a bar afterwards, and you can't. Just the whole night, you just assume that every orifice you have is full of gnats.
Now, my only sporting event frame of reference for this is the Jabba Chamberlain playoff gnat game.
Yeah.
Was this just like that? Better? Worse? Would you tell?
It just was a lot. Okay. I mean, I remember Jabba Chamberlain like waving at it.
And they're all
that's what he's
neck.
Best known for.
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
They brought the spray out on a mound visit.
Yeah. I
were midges, by the way.
I can't say that this was probably as bad. Because I didn't like at no point did I see any of the players like
it didn't affect the game.
Certainly didn't, but it affected everyone. It was the topic du jour in the stadium. A lot of hot gnat, and I was not ready for hot gnat talk. No one was. And yet it was.
But did you delight in it, talking to the guy next to you about it?
Look, I'm not going to lie.
It's satisfying.
Well, we can't really talk soccer because we really don't know what we're talking about. We just boo and cheer when
speak
everyone
for
else.
Yourself.
So the fact that the topic went away from soccer and it was gnat talk, we could all relate. And then in the bar afterwards, guess what? Hot gnat talk. It carried across the street.
You know, but I will say it, and you've lived in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
the Northwest, we're really lucky here.
Yes.
For our lack of bugs.
Yeah.
I mean, minimal mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, there's some places it's just...
Yeah.
Like, you almost can't be outside.
Yeah.
Particularly at night.
Yeah. It's...
You're going to get eaten alive.
Yeah.
You don't have that here.
No. In Alaska, well, they always joke that the Alaskan state bird is the mosquito.
Mm.
And when you go out, like... If you ever go out hunting or fishing out in the sticks, or you got to like Kodiak Island, you'll wear a mosquito suit, and you can reach up and feel like the top of your head on the net, and I don't know how to it's a wall of mosquitoes that are on you. I cannot imagine being out in some of those places. I don't know how the locals do it, because there's not a lot of locals, but I don't know how they live out there. When you really have bad mosquitoes, it's just...
They're the worst.
Yeah. Or we ever see like Naked and Afraid?
Yeah.
The number one thing that gets people on Naked and Afraid are the bugs.
No question.
They just wake up...
They cannot handle it.
No. They wake up and they're just covered in like lesions and red bumps, and that's what breaks more people.
They wear you down.
Yeah. How did the people back in the day do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or have we just evolved to
maybe
be
that's
a bunch
why
of...
Did they just adapt and we don't...
Candy asses.
Like, I don't know.
I think back in the day they just wore a bunch of wool...
I don't think they did. That's the way it worked.
Here's a deal. He says, you know, big bug spray wants your money, but what about big screw?
Oh, yeah.
Flat, Phillips, square.
Let me tell you.
Why do they do that?
When they get that stupid star one, that pisses me right off.
Now you got to have a whole case of attachments.
Don't get me started on big screw.
Yeah.
That's going to piss me right
off.
Why
can't they just make everything with one standard screw?
Yeah. Can't do it. Because they're
and is this a new thing? Like, I'm only 49 years old,
yeah.
And you're a young pup. You're only 44.
I'll be 47.
Oh, it seems like every year you inch closer to me in age. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Well, anyway,
I turned 47 this year.
When we were young, I feel like it was Phillips or flat.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That was it.
Now there's all kinds of different.
It's ridiculous.
Attachments and adjustments.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Styles. Yeah. Am I wrong that that's a newer thing by Big Screw?
I feel like Big Screw has evolved. And then when it comes to sockets, then we got the two different sets of sockets. We can't agree on what it's the whole thing.
Don't get you started on a big iPhone charger. They're changing the ports. There's a whole bunch. Like, oh, no, I need a micro USB. No, I need a power C. No, I need a lightning.
Yes.
Right to hell.
What a bunch of crap
straight
that is.
Straight to jail. Whoever figured, straight to jail.
That's Tim Cook?
Tim Cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that damn Tim Cook.
Bro, right to jail. Just no trial, right there.
There's your opening seggy. Gave you a little bonus 5 minutes right there. I was trying to get out on time. And
yeah, put it in
jail. I hate it. I have four different bolt sizes on the same piece of machinery. I'm a farmer and it drives me nuts. Yeah. Exactly.
Four different bolt sizes.
Freaking A.
Why?
I don't know. We have a Bronco top, hard and soft, and so we have to change it out once a year. And on the top, I want to say that there are three or four different sizes, and there's no reason for them to be different sizes. And it just, oh.
Are you mad?
Yeah, that one's it's a bee in the bonnet. That farmer guy got me, right where...
We got a lot of complaints out of the way in the first segment.
Right where I live, yeah.
There's your opening segment.
There.
Wait. I looked at the weather. 86 and sunny tomorrow.
And a lot of gnats.
That's for you. 86 and sunny.
Let's find more sun.
You know Mom, Pa, Ropper here.
Yeah, I love
them. And they delight in this weather because they're like, oh, it's so...
Yeah.
Because it's not humid
it's
to
mild.
Them. It's mild. Well, to them, it's a dry...
Yeah.
It's and they notice a difference. They're like, oh my God, this is delightful.
Welcome the Rops.
Yeah, welcome the Rops.
We love the Rops.
They love the roses.
Well, of course.
They're every time we drive, they're like, oh my God, there's more roses. Yeah, they do call it the city of roses. Yeah.
Maybe take them to the Japanese Rose Garden.
Oh, they've been up there.
Oh, I didn't know if they could handle that. It's just a sea.
Too mind-blowing?
A sea of flowers.
Roses.
Roses, yeah.
All right, let's get to headlines. We've got some Oregon Duck football scheduling news to kick it off next on The Fan.
You know, real quick follow-up, because someone pointed something out, and I just realized that like, this is 100% correct about me. He said, Suk doesn't care about the weather outside, which is true. I really don't. Hot, cold, makes no difference to me. I will adapt. I don't care if it's 100. I don't care if it's 35. I'll be fine. Inside, though, if that temperature starts with a 7, I lose my S. I hate ill. I feel like when I'm indoors, I have a, it's a responsibility to keep it at the temperature I want it. Outside, it's beyond my control and I don't care. But inside, when I can control that environment, I freaking hate being uncomfortable inside.
Okay.
If it's 74 inside, unacceptable.
You know what they call that?
What?
Control the controllables.
I do have control the controllables.
You just got to control the controllables.
Yes.
You know what that means? Anything you can't control?
Yeah.
You don't worry about it?
Yeah.
If you can control it, you control it.
Like, again, 102 outside, there's ways to stay cool. But if I walk in the house and someone has the nerve to turn it to 75, someone's getting an ass chewing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, imagine if you could control the weather outside.
Yeah.
You would.
Exactly. But
so why wouldn't you inside?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, it's a little warm today. I think I'm going to turn down the temperature outside. If you could do that, if there were a thermostat, you'd do it.
Yeah.
So that's why you do it on the inside.
Exactly.
I think that's all people, is
that
it
all
not?
People? Yeah. I am adamant about interior weather control, and I could care less about external weather. I hadn't realized that about myself, and so shout out to whoever sent that to me on the text program.
We now live in a temperate rainforest, says one of our texters.
Oh.
Whatever that means.
Sure.
Well, let's not bury the lead with headlines.
No.
It is a Thursday.
It is.
And that means we have a Buck first round leader update.
Yeah.
So it's the Memorial Tournament. They're playing out in Mirfield? Yeah, Jack's place?
Yeah.
It's right? Jack's
Dublin,
tournament.
Ohio. The big controversy is that Roy didn't tell Jack that he wasn't
Coming. Call him.
Oh. Yeah. Freaking Roy.
By the way,
Jack apparently helped Roy to win the Masters. Like, really? Like, Roy didn't know anything about Augusta National?
Well, I guess the thing was that Rory did call Jack and say, hey, and they went through shot by shot on that course, because Jack, you know, he won a few green jackets.
Yeah, I think he's won a few.
So, a good little tutelage from Uncle Jack.
It wasn't just one of those. Like, he sought him out.
No, he went.
That happened, but the way I heard Jack tell it was that Rory sat down. He's like, all right, how are you going to play the course? And Rory went through every shot, and Jack
agreed.
He just sat and listened.
Yes,
he didn't offer anything. He just said, you've got it.
Well,
you got to figure it out.
Rory was really, 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 I don't know if you know this, he wanted really badly to win the Masters.
Yes.
So he went to Jack, and he's like, dude, what am I missing? He was trying to overturn every stone.
Sure.
Is that the right
thing? That's right. Leave no stone unturned. What?
Yeah. You know what I mean.
We're doing great.
So anyway, they sat down. Yeah, and that Buck's right. So Rory went through shot by shot, and Jack was like, I wouldn't play it any different. And he won the Masters.
So did Jack?
He just validated that he was on the right track.
Well, I love that was the big controversy, is that Rory didn't call Jack to personally tell him that he wasn't coming to Jack's turn.
Well, that wasn't
gold jacket, thing. Green jacket, who gives a
shit? Jack doesn't care. He knows.
No, I actually saw the press conference with Jack, and I thought he handled it quite well.
He's like, I had to make scheduling decisions myself when I played. I get it. It's kind of like when Schultze comes to you, and he's like, what can I do better? And you say absolutely nothing. You know?
Hey, you're doing great.
You're doing great?
Yeah.
All right. So, first round leader. He didn't hit it. We
got
missed
close.
It today. We got close. We had Colin Morikawa. I say we. Buck had Colin Morikawa.
We were all going on this ride with Buckley.
Yeah, I was.
That's right.
I'm on this.
He was a Morikawa advocate this week.
Yeah, the FRL train. We were talking about this yesterday. FRL standing for first round leader.
Yeah.
So Buck likes to bet who will be leading after the first round of each tournament. And he's hit like three or four of them.
Five of them.
He said, oh, I'm sorry, five of them.
Look how quickly. Dude,
well, let's get it.
Buckley
I know,
had that thing holstered.
He's right. Let's get it right.
Actually, Isaac wanted me to go through all of the list of all of them, and so I actually tallied them the other day.
Good.
There's five.
Okay, good. And then, we want to know, because the odds are long, so these are big wins for Buckley, should he bet more than a dollar.
But,
sometimes I do.
Morikawa, you can always tell the guys who work hard in their game because they always come out in the first round, they play really well. Colin Morikawa is one of those, and we bet him. And he was five under, but he got clipped by Ben Griffin, who won last week on tour, the new Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, I have no idea who that is, by
the way. I'm just kidding.
He was so bad. Did he lose his tour card?
There was
a period of time where he was either like selling insurance or working in finance because his golf game was so bad.
Yes.
And now he's winning tournaments
again. He won the tournament last week, and he birdied his last three holes to take money out of Buck's sports pants.
Sorry, Buckley.
And so Ben Griffin is your first round leader at 7. So
keeping that sweet $8 in our pants. We hate Ben Griffin.
Well, I don't even think he's so nondescript that he's not you can't hate him, but you also can't love him. Like, it's impossible.
Are you sure we can't hate him?
Well, you might, because do you know, have you, can you picture him?
No. I have no
idea. He has the most central casting golfer face.
This is the very first time I've ever heard his name. Quite frankly, it sounds made up.
So he's very...
it might be.
Oh, yeah.
Boring khaki pants, but look at his glasses.
I'm looking at him right now.
He wears sunglasses out there, and it's very...
He's
very dorky.
His headshot photo, he looks psychotic. Like he's...
Well, he might be.
He's too not... Like, that's the guy that... He seems all put together, and then it turns out he's got bodies in freezers.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's playing some golf right now.
Okay.
That guy.
Oh, yeah, he is wearing, like, the film.
They're transition lenses, I think.
Those are fantastic. Those look like from the Gloria Vanderbilt collection. Those are the Phil Mickelson jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, like, reflective lenses.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not transition. Dude, that's what
I'm... Because I'm supposed to wear glasses and I just don't because it's not that bad. But as I get older, I'm going to eventually break down and get a pair because I dabble in it from time to time. The next time I do it, I'm just going transition lenses.
My eyes are very important.
The older
to me.
I get, I'm 100% going George Seifert transition lenses. And I'm going to get some Dahmers too.
It's convenient.
Just be that guy. It's just weird because they're never darker and they're never clear. You're just in that constant state of molester. That's what that shade of glass is. Get a blonde mustache.
Well, there's always next week, Buckley, and of course the U.S. Open is a coming.
Yeah,
that's right.
So now we get to real headlines, and that is Oregon Duck football scheduling news.
Yes, we got times,
and they will be in the whiteout. Did you know that?
Well, I did now because you know.
Do you know what that means?
I do know what that means. Who are you talking to? You don't think I know about the whiteout? I'm familiar.
Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm saying.
Now to headlines. Today we have Oregon football news. Very exciting Oregon football news.
We got some hot news.
Yeah. So the Ducks... The networks, actually, not the Ducks, but the networks announced some game times. And that's kind of cool and whatever. But,
yeah, I guess. You know, hey.
Well, there's so many different windows now. Like, it is of note that the Ducks will be playing that Northwestern game up there in Chicago at 9 West Coast time.
Yeah.
So they have one of those early kicks. So that'll be on Fox on the 13th of September.
Well, good thing Northwestern isn't very good. And I think Oregon now, I'm pretty certain that Oregon and a lot of schools practice in the morning. So, I mean, it sucks. But, you know, the week before, you know, you reset the body clock, maybe go out there a day early. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were playing Ohio State at a 9 a.m. local time, but you'll be fine. We make, I think, sometimes too much of kick times. I mean, I've played morning games. I've played night games. The sweet spot is always, you know, the noon to 3 is what you want, but games aren't won and lost because of kick times.
So the Oklahoma State game at Autzen will be... September 6th, they're going to kick that off at 12:30. That'll be on CBS for you.
See, that's prime right there. Because, you know, you don't have to wake up too early. You get some tailgating in. I think people would probably like that to be maybe 3:30. But then you get home at a decent time. I love the 12:30 kick. Big fan.
I agree.
Big fan.
If I were going, I would love that.
Yes.
And then...
You didn't say the Montana State time, you jerk.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah, you gloss over the season opener.
I'm
Jesus.
Going in order of importance. Actually, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Penn State would be the first one.
I don't like your dismissal of the first game.
Big Ten Network, your opener against Montana State. 1 p.m.
Tasty little kickoff time.
Let's play the fun game of how many empty seats, because the students aren't back yet. It's Montana State.
Well, we have to have the conversation of what's wrong with college football, and God, nobody's going.
Yeah. Guarantee there'll be some sort of hot topic think piece that happens.
Yeah, that or why do they even play these games against teams where they can beat them by 80 or whatever.
No conversation will be actually had about football. Although, you know, that's one.
Unless the offense sputters and then we'll have a quarterback controversy.
Well, watch out for my Grizz.
That's not
Bobcats.
There you go. Montana State, though, I mean, they're
good.
That's a really good team.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza. That is one of those games that I've never understood why you play.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza.
Because if you blow the doors off of them, who cares? It's Montana State. But it's like with Idaho, you know, every now and then one of those schools comes out and gives you a game, or you know, South Dakota something ends up nicking you in the knee, and then you look like a fool. If you're gonna play a nobody team, literally go play a nobody team. Give me the Sister Mary School of the Blind, right? Play that, or don't. I don't like those Montana State games. That's all risk, nothing to gain.
So then on the 27th of September, as you know, the Ducks will be traveling to Penn State, Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been chosen as the one whiteout game of the season.
Yeah.
So at 4:30 Pacific time, it'll be on NBC. The Ducks will play in Happy Valley, and it will be a whiteout.
I just have always preferred the whites.
I can't wait till Dan Lanning is asked about the whites. And then he has to, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to.
So does this mean that the Ducks will do their best to wear as much white as possible? Because I was just thinking about him at...
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because they danced around to around in Wisconsin.
I'm telling you right now, if Dan Lanning is going to go full Dan Lanning, they wear the Stormtroopers.
Ooh,
Penn State wear...
Do they? No, they wear blue at home, right?
They wear blue at home.
Yeah, Oregon could go Stormtrooper.
They're
going to
wear the whites.
But, I mean, Penn State could choose. The home team chooses.
Right. I guess they could go white. Do they, or have they, for their own white
hats? I would have to look at that, but they wear blue at home.
Yeah.
But if Oregon really wants to give the FU, you just wear the Stormtroopers at the whiteout. Phenomenal. Phenomenal troll.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you would, because Penn State still wears white pants and white helmet, so... Yeah. I'm guessing that they don't, because it could get a little weird, but I just think it would be great at the whiteout at night, 100,000 people, and Oregon, you go into warmups wearing one thing, and then when you come back out, you come back running out, because Notre Dame does this sometimes, like they go out one thing and they'll come out wearing the special uniform.
Really?
It'd be freaking awesome.
Oregon did it in the Rose Bowl when they had those shiny helmets. Yeah. They didn't warm up in them. They came out of the tunnel with them.
Notre Dame has done that a couple times. Like, surprise, bitches, shiny helmets.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Helmets?
I think they've done it with their green jerseys, too.
With the green jerseys, too. But I know they did it with the helmets.
What a dumb bit. What is that for?
It's just, you know, it's a little.
The other team's like,
No. Maybe they lean against it and they go full blackout. What's stronger than the white? The dark. And there's going to be some very inspirational Ducks versus them, like history of the white, the snow, the crystallization of a snowflake, something like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but I do know that the whiteout is a thing. It's usually their biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
And and everybody wears white in the stadium now.
By the way, I did look it up, and no, Penn State does not wear their road white uniforms during the whiteouts. So they will be wearing blue.
Yeah.
So in theory, if Oregon wanted to, they could do Stormtroopers.
I don't think they could, because if you think about it, you mentioned it, Penn State will have white pants, white helmet.
Yeah.
Ducks would have white pants, white helmet, white jersey. The only thing that wouldn't be white would be the Penn State jersey.
No one can handle that much white.
It's moving more into the whites.
It's too white. Well, if you could, if the rules would allow it, you wear the Stormtroopers and stick it where the sun don't shine for the Nittany Lion game.
So do you know the history of the whiteout? Do you know how it began?
I do not.
Well, I had to go read up on this today, you know, for show purposes.
Mm-hmm.
In 2002, leading up to a very big game against Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
there was a fear that in Happy Valley, there would be a sea of red because the Nebraska fans travel.
Yeah. Better than maybe anybody. Those dudes are nuts. And
so an email began circulating amongst Penn State fans to wear both blue to the game and not sell their tickets to Husker fans.
Sure.
Makes sense. It was dubbed Operation Visine to get the red out. See what they did there?
That's clever.
And, that was the precursor to the modern whiteout.
Oh, but that's not a whiteout. That's a blueout.
Yeah, but it morphed into the whiteout.
Are they the first?
Because of that.
Are they the first ones to do that? Because now
that was only 2002. I can't imagine they were the first.
Yeah, they were the first ones to ever wear the same color. Come on, Penn State.
I don't know if like because the fans and all that, like. I think everyone does it. BYU has a blackout, which is the most ironic thing in the world because we have like three black guys on the team. But, you know, we do blackouts. They wear black uniforms.
Black, please. Thank you.
I think a lot of people do the blackout.
Penn State's record on whiteout games.
Mm-hmm.
So that one technically wasn't a whiteout game.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they were blue. But
I'm guessing it's not that great because if they're picking it for the biggest game of the year, I'm guessing that's close to 500.
So in 2004... they were kind of having a down year, mm-hmm. and their AD asked them all to wear white to a game against Purdue.
Okay.
And they kind of did.
Purdue.
Yeah. And that's where it started. So
we'd have some balls against that big Purdue team.
The first one, well, Purdue was number 9 at the time.
Oh, well, I stand corrected.
Yeah. Hey. You might want to walk that back.
I will. Who could have thought
the hell was on that team?
Yeah, Purdue was top
2004? 10? Probably.
No, that's not Drew Brees.
It's not Brees.
It's probably like a Curtis Painter.
Ooh, good call. I bet it is.
What about...
there is no one else at Purdue football.
Wasn't there one other good quarterback there?
I'll look here and see what we got.
Oh, wait.
Scrolling.
They lost, by the way.
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, there was another. See? He was awesome.
Kyle Orton was good. I thought you were like, see?
Well, I knew it was a name that I knew.
Rob Ninkovich.
It had to be, because Purdue...
and Bernard Pollard.
Purdue is not ranked that high without a really good quarterback.
They went 7-5.
Well, they were number 9 at the time, okay. And they beat Penn State 20-13 in 2004. That started the whiteout. Now, it was solidified the next year when Penn State upset number 6 Ohio State at the whiteout.
Okay.
And that, of course, then everybody's like, well, we have to do this every year. So Michigan, they do it for the Michigan game a lot, or have done it for the Michigan game a lot, and Ohio State game. Oregon will be the opponent for the whiteout this year. Penn State's record overall for whiteout games is 13-8.
All right.
And they have won 6 in a row.
Ooh.
So it was a losing record.
Yeah.
But now that they're good,
yeah.
I do feel like there have been a couple times where they've put the whiteout on crappy games.
Yeah, just to get
just to get some dubs.
But I also think they've put it on a couple Ohio State games that they've definitely lost. Thanks close ones. So.
Not since 2018, though.
Can I say that is my
favorite? I was listening the whole time.
No, you weren't. That is my favorite thing, is when Rob says something.
I swear I heard everything.
He literally just said Ohio State and Michigan games. And Michael was like, I think they threw in some Ohio State games as well. I freaking love it. Never change.
Yeah, so they beat number 16 Michigan in 2019, number 22 Auburn in 2021. Of course, it wasn't a COVID game. Minnesota, see, they put Minnesota on there, row the boat, beat them handily. Yeah. Number 24 Iowa.
Sometimes the Whites need a win.
Hey, the Washington game last year was a whiteout.
Oh.
Yeah, and they beat him 35-6.
Yeah, Washington sucked.
And they also had a whiteout for their college football playoff game against SMU. Which so they did two whiteouts last
year. That was
also
a win.
And they won those. So they won 6 in a row.
And by the way.
So watch out, Ducks.
And Oregon plays Rutgers at 4 and Minnesota at 6. There's the two other.
The Minnesota news, though, that's on a Friday, not on a Saturday.
So oh, there you go.
That's gives them one more day to prepare for USC, but also just not a Saturday game.
Also announced was that on the 20th of September, the Apple Cup in Pullman will be on CBS at 4:30. 4:30.
Yeah, that's I'm still having to
4:30.
Yeah, the Civil War Apple Cup beginning of the year thing. That's just
week 4.
Yeah.
Coincidentally,
I remember last year Washington State beat them. Everyone thought that those rivals were just gonna, you know, that was gonna be a just a universal ass kicking, and Washington ran like to the short side of the field on a quarterback sprint and lost the game.
Who is Washington State's coach now?
They got the guy from South Dakota State who has brought over like every player from South Dakota State, and his name is
Bill Terry
Jimmy Rogers.
Is that his name?
Yeah. No, I just made it up.
Well, it kind of did sound made up.
It sounded made up.
Jimmy Rogers?
Jimmy Rogers.
That's correct.
From South Dakota State.
From South Dakota State. He was the coach of the Jackrabbits.
Was who that took a good down, hire?
Well, South Dakota State's good. Remember they beat your Kansas Jayhawks a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really successful at South Dakota State.
By the way, that's not saying much. But yes, they have a good program. That game, so 4:30 on CBS in Pullman, Coincidentally, that game is 7 days before the Huskies have to go host Ohio State.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little tidbit, a little sprinkle tidbit.
Yeah, you know what? That's exactly why I said that, Jace. Yeah, like it's a tidbit.
Just a little,
yeah.
Little titty there.
Oh.
Tid.
Yeah, T-I-D-D-Y.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Jeez. Well, I'd say that's 2 days in a row. You have almost been called into HR. If we had an HR department, you would have been called in.
Fined by the FCC?
You can say there's nothing wrong with that. T-I-D-D-Y.
Well, I smell a segment.
What can you say on the radio?
I don't want to say this.
I don't like that
don't,
segment.
No, that's not the segment.
I smell a segment for football season. Can I say?
Well, you
T-I-D-D-Y.
Said.
Yeah.
College football titties.
Boy.
What? That's what he said.
I know.
That's fine. That you can say that.
I was more comfortable when you did the Tuesday tidbitties, which was already on a dangerous tightrope.
Yeah, I think you're right. This was not good. We shouldn't have done any of this. I like that. Tidbitties.
Tidbitties.
College football.
Well, that's your own idea. You've already done this.
I know. My philosophy is to push until you're told to. And what's the saying? Like,
better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Exactly.
But we said nothing wrong.
You might have.
No, I did not.
You might have.
Well, then you also might have.
I might have.
No.
There's a reason we're not just saying it all the time.
Look, I just don't like we said that.
Yeah.
Wholesome show. Family show.
Boy!
All right. Is there anyone who doesn't think the SEC has the toughest schedule? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, next order of business. More college football.
Are we calling this the college football sugar tease? Now there's a segment we can all get behind. Really? We got to go there?
What?
Clean it up.
You're the one that did it.
Clean it up. It's ridiculous.
Are your balls jiggling? So the SEC sent like a 7-page memo.
Yeah. It's a TPS report.
To the media outlining how tough their schedule is.
They love this.
Well, I guess you do lean into your, you know, you tout your con. I mean, I get that.
Sure.
But,
well, you saw it.
But
like
what are they... What is the point? Yeah, I mean, I have it here.
Well, but the thing was, because originally, you know, the four automatic qualifiers, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns out there was a lot of pushback, and there was a lot of SEC coaches that didn't want that.
Yeah, they want the 5-11.
They want the 5-11.
Top five conference champions.
And then 11.
And then 11 at large.
Because the idea is that if you go to the four automatic qualifiers, everyone wants the SEC then to play nine conference games.
Right.
And it turns out the SEC coaches are like, no, we'd rather play an 8-game schedule, still have that William and Jewel game at the end of the year, and then just let the dice, or I guess it would be the chips fall where they may at the end. Because we talked about this. If you look through like last year as the example, I think there would have been 6 SEC teams in there. So you don't really need the automatic qualifiers. I think their belief is we're going to get more than 4 teams in. So let's just stay with the 8-game schedule, guarantee us at least one more win. So now there's that debate of, you know, it's funny. Everyone that was upset at the SEC for trying to push the 4 automatic qualifiers, and now the SEC is like, we may not want that. Let's just stick with the 5-11.
I get the debate. But I don't get why the SEC seems to think that anyone needs to be convinced that they have the toughest schedule. Like, we all know that.
I know, but people love to push. But to be fair, people love to take cracks at the SEC.
Yeah, so they put out numbers.
So
I get it, but...
And the SEC can do whatever they want anyway, so they don't need to justify it, right?
Big Ten's got two national titles in a row.
That's right.
So the SEC, this was part of it. It said the SEC only has two teams outside the top 50 in average strength of record over the past 10 years. And this says it provides clear evidence of the rigor of its regular season compared to other leagues. And then it's got a little chart because you have to, because media's dumb. They have to see the chart, visualize it. The SEC number of teams outside the top 50, the SEC has had two, which is 13%. The Big Ten, 8, 44%. The Big 12, 9, 56%. And the ACC, 11, 65% of its teams outside the top 50.
Sure.
So, I mean, they felt the need to send a 7-page PowerPoint to the media to explain this.
And here's the thing. You're right in that at this point, if you're going to sit there and debate that any league is harder than the SEC, then you're just as dumb as the SEC.
I mean, if you're making that argument, it's disingenuous and nobody believes you. We all know the truth.
You can say that the SEC is crowned up and the SEC tries to give themselves unfair advantages and they try to use too much sway and all that. Sure. But the bottom line is they produce more champions, they produce more NFL players, they have more quality teams. Now, if you want to say at the back end of that, you know, I mean, Mississippi State went 0-8 in the conference. You know, Kentucky went 1-7, Auburn went 2-6. Those aren't dominant teams by any stretch of the imagination. But no one wants to go through a conference that has Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, LSU, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss. I mean, no one, even Missouri last year, like those were all, and Florida wasn't as bad as we thought they were. There's just not another conference that can boast the top end and the mid level. I think no matter what conference you're in, when you get down to the bottom, there's going to be crap. But even, you know, according to the SEC, their bottom crap is better than the Big 12's bottom crap, which is probably true, but it doesn't mean that your S doesn't stink. It doesn't mean that you're infallible. Again, 2 years in a row, you haven't won the national title, but the SEC just loves to, you know, loves to toot its own horn. But if the Pac-12 or the Big Ten had this, would they have been any different? If the Pac-12 back in the day, who loved to try to throw their spin at it, if USC and Oregon and Cal and if that was the SEC, do you think it would have been any different with the Pac-12?
What do you mean? Like they wouldn't put something like this out? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like
I think the Pac-12 would, because the Pac-12 has always felt like it had to kind of. Like they were always the overlooked one.
Yeah.
So they kind of had to tout themselves. The SEC doesn't have to tout itself.
I'm wondering, when was the last time you saw a player, a team, a conference, a league that clearly was, you know, king of the hill that didn't pound their chest? I think that just comes with the territory. Like there, when you are the best and you feel challenged or someone wants to take shots at you, I feel like I just feel like that's just natural. And it's annoying that the SEC does it, but they do it because
once you've asserted your dominance, you remind people of your dominance.
I mean, I get that, but this almost feels like set the record straight type of propaganda.
Yeah.
Which is stupid because there is no record to be set straight. We all get what the SEC is.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, hey, we're great. It's another to be like, well, it seems like you don't understand our greatness.
I mean, just stupid.
Is it possible that, again, 2 years in a row, and you feel like maybe because of the NIL era that some of your grip on the college football world is slipping a little bit?
Or they're just trying to justify their automatic qualifier.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
That they may not even want.
Yeah, I think they do. It's interesting that the SEC is split.
Yeah.
Now, the part that is split doesn't really matter. Like what the coaches say, I mean, they don't really have much of a say. It's the presidents.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it was interesting to see that the coaches came out and they were not aligned with what the conference is saying.
No.
So, I mean, I don't know that that matters, but it's kind of interesting.
I do. I think it is intriguing.
You do?
And do the coaches ultimately get to make the decision, or is that an AD thing? And they go to them and be like, hey, this guarantees us a certain amount of money. And to me, I think you take the automatic qualifiers because it's foot in the cash register as opposed to.
Well, a 9-game schedule.
And yeah.
It makes you more money.
Yeah. But
they're not. I mean, I know the coaches don't want that, but they ain't going to get what they want in that.
I wouldn't think so.
It's about dollars and cents.
I feel like the automatic qualifier thing is going to happen, but we'll see. Come Nothing's
on,
been decided.
Lane Kiffin.
I want to look. In the last, I think in the last 25 years.
What an exciting time.
And I just I did a brief look. I think they have like 18 of the national championships.
Yeah.
In college football.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
maybe they need to send out a 7-page document reminding people of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just silly.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Mike Leach may get into the Hall of Fame yet.
Well, my.
That story next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.